Ding into it. Yep, let me hear. Christmas time.
Time's coming. Christmas time's coming. Christmas time's coming.
And it's usually right. What's your verse number? Leading. Right, and your verse is? Right, so when you're done, you pass it down. When you're done, you pass it down. Is it me?
Wait, will I sing my verse again?
Yeah, but do you think you could all sing her verse with her the last time? This time we'll do a little different. You hold the mic about right here, and we'll sing it together. All right, come in this way. Come in closer. You'll sing your verse with the mic at your mouth. Then when we sing the choruses, drop it down. So okay. So when you sing, then you drop it down here for choruses. You hand it to her. Okay. Everybody, look at me. Merry Christmas on three. Ready? One, two, three.
Merry Christmas.
Here we go. Everybody, sing with me. Christmas time's coming. Christmas time.
Can't wait to tell the story, how the Savior came from glory, how the shepherds, angels, and wise men, 'cause Christmas time's a-coming.
Everybody.
Hear those bells ringing, ringing, joy, joy, hear them singing. Baby's snowing, but I'm knowing, someday I'm going home.
In Bethlehem a pleading, but no one was receiving, but a stable with the oxen, 'cause Christmas time's coming.
Hear those bells ringing, ringing, joy, joy, hear them sing. Maybe snowing, but I'm knowing, someday I'm going home.
Christmas time's coming.
Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home.
A star was shining bright, a light leading to the light. Fall like the wise men, 'cause Christmas time's coming.
like to welcome everybody this morning. We appreciate the good crowd we have and appreciate our children singing this morning. Thought we had as we sitting over there is, I'm glad I go to a church and I'm glad I know the true meaning of Christmas. It's easy to get caught up in the natural side of it, and I enjoy all that too, but it's hard for our mind to comprehend that, you know, the Lord came into this world, was born in a manger and died on the cross so I could have salvation. Again, we got to get ourselves out of the way to be able to feel that and understand it, but I'm glad it happened. I'm glad I know it happened. I'm glad he set it up that way, and at one time when I was a 12-year-old boy, I received that salvation, that greatest gift anybody can ever have. I appreciate that this morning. My brother Josh dismissed Sunday school.
This is a place that scares me. I'm not one to be shy about getting up in front of people and talking or being afraid of the limelight, I guess, if you want to look at it that way. But this is a place that scares me. And if it didn't, I wouldn't get up here. Doing God's work is a serious business. And this lesson this morning is in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 16, is probably, if not the most, one of the most known scriptures in the Bible. And we was talking earlier about how these holiday scriptures or some of these things that are real well known are the hardest lessons to teach, because it's real easy for this natural guy to just fall back on what I've been taught all my life. But when I get up here, I want to move with God's Spirit. I don't want to just fall back on what so-and-so said 50 years ago in Sunday school when I was a little boy. I want to follow what God's got for us. I told Bob a minute ago, I don't know at this point still whether I'll even read any of this lesson or not. The direction God sent me in studying this and the things that God has shown me this week have just amazed me. This scripture, everybody probably already knows, is about Joseph and Mary going into Bethlehem and Jesus being born in a stable. There was a plan in place from the foundation of the world. God had it planned out that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem and that he would live out his life and die on a cross and raise again in 3 days. That was all part of God's plan from the beginning. But what I want to do is go back into the Old Testament, and I don't expect people to turn with me because there's just one or two things here and there that I want to point out. If you go back to Genesis 49:10, it says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." And then I want to move on up to 2 Samuel. If I can keep track of my notes here. 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 16. It says, "And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever." There's a whole bunch of these, and if I get to them, if God allows me to get to them, that's fine, and if I don't, then that's fine too. But there's a whole bunch of, there's a whole bunch of places that I've got marked that are prophecy of the day Jesus come and was born in Bethlehem. These things were put in place. I guess this is what amazed me, was the amount of work that God put in to this whole situation. I guess in my mind, I kind of always thought, well, one day God was watching the world go by and just decided, you know what? Right now is the time I'm going to have Jesus be born. And that may or may not be so, but the fact is, way before that day came, the foundation was laid for this to happen. There was a lot of things in the Old Testament that was prophesied about Jesus coming and how he would be born and where he would be born and what the circumstances were. All that stuff was prophesied way before Jesus came. And one of those, see which one it was. Daniel, let me see if I can get to that one real quick. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, says, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Our lesson this morning starts out, the first verse says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." Right there's the king that this verse in Daniel was referring to. God had to put these things in place, and I like the, I even wrote it down so I could quote it right. "All things work together for good to them that love God." When Caesar Augustus sent out this decree that all the world should be taxed, this wasn't just a time of gathering tax money from the people. This was a census. These people all had to go back to the place they were born and be registered under the Roman rule so that the Romans could keep track of where everybody came from and who they were related to and so on and so forth. But that is why Joseph and Mary had to go to Bethlehem. So Caesar Augustus put this decree out there and said, you're all going to go where you was born, and that's where you're going to be taxed. And God used that to put Mary in Bethlehem at the time of Jesus' birth. Now, had Caesar not done this, God would have found a way to have things happen the way he wanted it to happen. But I believe he already knew from the foundation that what man does, God can turn it around and use it for good. Like the scripture said, all things work together for good. All things, not just what God has us do. I've done some things in my life that I guarantee wasn't good, wasn't following God. But the results of those things, if for nobody else in my life now, looking back, God has used those things for good in me because I learned from it. But moving on, what was it I was trying to get to? There was a place in Isaiah. Is this one? I got two spots in Isaiah I want to read. One of them is chapter 40, verse 3. It says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Another place, many, many years before it happened, that God showed the prophets how things were going to happen. He's talking about John the Baptist there. Now, when you get to the time of Jesus, I honestly don't know how any of the Jews that were educated in the Bible, which most of them were, but especially the priests and the Pharisees and Sadducees that all denied that this was the Messiah, I don't know how having knowledge of these scriptures from the Isaiah and way back in the day, how could they read these scriptures or know these scriptures and not see that that's exactly what happened? When Jesus, before Jesus was born, the events leading up to it and the events right after it were exactly what the Bible had prophesied. Right down to the last detail. God had it laid out so that nothing was left out. Everything that was prophesied happened exactly the way it was prophesied. There was a lot of work that went into the birth of Christ, if I can say it that way. God had a plan. God laid that plan out. And I like the fact that there is no time in heaven, because the thousands or the hundreds or thousands of years or whatever it took from Genesis to 2,024 years ago was instantaneous in God's eyes. But he made each one of these things be said in its own time, in its own place, leading up to where it would all have to be true, where it would all happen, physically happen on this earth. Isaiah 11 says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. It's been amazing to me to read these things over the last week and to see just how obvious it is that they all pointed toward the birth of Christ. And then I wanted to get to the shepherds. Now, we all know that they went to be taxed, and it came to pass that, or says, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. Probably everybody knows it, but swaddling clothes refers to basically like bandage strips of cloth. She didn't even have a blanket to put the baby in. She wrapped him up in stuff they might use for a mummy. I don't know exactly where they got this stuff or what it was made of, but she didn't even have a baby blanket. But then verse 8 says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, watching over their flock by night." Now, this was one of the things God kind of impressed on me this week, is they were keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, we got to think, this was some 2,000 plus years ago. There wasn't any street lights out there. They didn't have any flashlights. It was dark. All they had was the light of the sky, the moon, maybe, if the moon was out, or the stars. From what I could gather, when it got dark and they wasn't coming back into the fold, the shepherds would gather the sheep in close to them so they could see them. Because if they left them all out roaming around the field, it'd be easy for a bear or a wolf or something to to come out of the woods and get one of them. And they wouldn't even know it because they wouldn't be able to see it. So they'd gather them in close, keep them right there with them so they could see what was going on and keep them safe. And I've heard people say that the angel came and woke these fellas up. I don't believe so, because they were there to watch over those sheep. I think they was standing up. I think they was wide awake, and I think they was keeping a close eye on them sheep, because that's what shepherds did. That was their job. And another thing I found interesting was, in those days, the average age of a shepherd in that day and time was between 10 and 15 years old. And then I found it interesting that David was a shepherd, and when he was about 15 years old, was when he got sent down to the war, to the battle, and killed Goliath. When Jesus was 12, was when he was found teaching in the temple, being the good shepherd. But these fellows were probably between 10 and 15 years old, standing out there in the dark watching over their sheep. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto them. I'll just read that so I get it right. It says, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." I can't even imagine standing out in the middle of the field with my sheep, and suddenly an angel appears out of nowhere, lighting up the sky, and telling me, "Fear not." And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Like I said, I can't even imagine having an angel appear unto me. But I've probably said this before, where it says they were sore afraid, that's not the only time in the Bible that an angel appeared to somebody and they were sore afraid. As far as I've read, and I could be wrong, but from the things that I've read, I think the only time an angel appeared to somebody and they weren't scared to death was when the angel appeared to Mary and told her she was going to have a son and his name was going to be Jesus. And she didn't act like she was afraid of that. But everywhere else, everybody that an angel appeared to was afraid. And I can't blame them, because I probably would be too. But these shepherds, they was afraid. It says, "And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." That would be quite the experience. A whole host of angels from heaven just suddenly out there in the middle of the pasture singing glory to God. But what I like about this is the last verse. The last two verses, I guess I'll just go ahead and read these. It says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." I told my wife, I found it real interesting when we look at a nativity scene or we think about, you know, what the nativity scene looked like. I think all my life I've probably pictured those three. Well, it don't even say there was three. It don't tell you how many shepherds there was. There might have been 10 or 12 of them. I don't know. But however many there was, I've always pictured them at that nativity scene, old, grizzly, and gray-headed, and long beards, and robes on, you know. And knowing what I know now about the age of these shepherds, these fellows was just young fellows, young men. Some might call them boys nowadays. But they had enough about them that when God called them, they made haste and came down there. Just like Zacchaeus, when Jesus said, "Come down here." He said, Zacchaeus made haste and came down. And I'm sure every one of us could probably say there was a time in our life when God called me and I made haste and came to him. That's what he wants from us. When he tells us to come here, he wants us to hurry up and do it. I'm sure any of us that's got kids or grandkids probably have that same frustration when we ask them to come here and do something. They got excuses, or they hesitate, or they go the other way like they didn't hear you. That's what we do with God a lot of times. And he gets just as aggravated with us as we do with our kids. But what he wants from us is to do what we're asked, when we're asked. Especially the lost, when he calls you, make haste and come to him. There was another point I wanted to get to. Bethlehem, that's what it was. There was some conflict, I guess, in the stuff that I was studying. And I've seen some TV shows kind of based on the whole thing. And they're the so-called experts can't really decide where exactly Jesus was born. Because there's I seen on a TV show, there's a Bethlehem in Judea. And I guess from what they were saying, there's another Bethlehem a smaller town named Bethlehem that's just right outside of Galilee, right outside of Nazareth, somewhere right there close. And these guys thought maybe that was where Jesus was born, because then Mary and Joseph wouldn't have had to travel so far. They could have just went right next door to Nazareth and been taxed. But the Bible says that he was born in the city of David. Now, Bethlehem in Judea was called the city of David. But Zion was also called the city of David. And this is the part I liked about that. When Bethlehem was called the city of David, it was because that's where David was born, and that's where David lived his first 15 years at least as a shepherd. David was a shepherd in the city of Bethlehem. The first ones to know about the birth of Christ was the shepherds. And Christ was called the Good Shepherd. Where does that leave us? We're supposed to be the sheep, in a sense. We're God's sheep. We're supposed to follow him because he's the Good Shepherd. But we're also in a position of a shepherd, because it's our job to round up the stragglers and tell them about Jesus being born in Bethlehem. Come and see. Anybody got any comments? I'm going to come up a little short on time probably, but there's a verse in Micah chapter 5 verse 2 says right there, "But thou Bethlehem Ephratah," whatever that means, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler, to be ruler in Israel." That verse right there tells you what Bethlehem he's supposed to be born in. And that was written, I don't know how many years before Jesus came. And then about John, Malachi chapter 3 verse 1 says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." And now if that ain't talking about John coming before Jesus, I don't know what it would be talking about. I don't think I marked any of these other ones, but I do want to get to this one. Revelations chapter 14 and verse 3. I'll just read the first three verses out of chapter 14, Revelations, and it says, "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps." And this is the verse I wanted to get to. "And they sung as it were a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth." Jesus came to redeem us. There's never been one before him, and there'll never be another one after him that had the power to do what he has done and is doing. I always liked, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is in Revelations, when John said he wept because there was not one worthy to open the book. There was a time when I was 11 years old, I couldn't find one worthy to open the book because I was looking at myself and I was looking at the people around me, good people in this church, but not one of them was worthy to open the book for me. And I remember sitting there crying, thinking, I'm doomed because there's nothing I can do. And God said, come here, come to me. And when I did, I saw that there was one worthy to open the book. And he opened the book and he wrote my name in it. And my name is still in it and will always be. And that was the one that was born in Bethlehem. I was trying to study and find out what time of year it was that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. But I couldn't find any definitive answers on that. The fact that we say December 25th is the birth of Jesus, well, that may or may not be right. But it doesn't really matter. What matters is we have a specific day that we celebrate it. And I guess the bad thing about it is that we have a specific day that we celebrate it. If we had our hearts right, we'd celebrate it every day. But does anybody else got any thoughts?
I heard a fellow say on TV this morning that he mentioned that scripture, and then he said that Jesus didn't start his ministry until he was 30 years old. And he said, what was he doing in between there? Well, I thought it was funny. He said he was studying to get ready for his ministry. Jesus never had to study in his life. He knew everything from the foundation of the world. You taught it. Jesus had this all planned out. God had it all ready. He stood as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God had it all ready and prepared in his own mind. Mm-hmm. And he gave us little bits and pieces in the Old Testament just to let us know for sure what was coming. If we'd humble our hearts and get right in the center of God's will, we could see that. And like the shepherds said, they were sore afraid when the angels appeared. And I remember just like you said, the day God appeared to me, I was afraid.
Yeah.
And when I come to Jesus, I made my way to the altar, and God saved me, and I wasn't afraid anymore, and ain't been afraid since.
Right.
Of going to hell. It's a good lesson.
Anybody else got any thoughts? Miss Don in these times. Sure, Don would have had something real interesting to say. That's all I got. So we say thank you for your prayers and pray for the service this morning.